Okay. Class dismissed. Galatians chapter 2. Let's go there for a second. And verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This does not say we live by faith in the Son of God. It says we live by his faith. He lives in us. It's him who lives in us. Jesus said, the Father in me, he does the works. Jesus in us does the works. Jesus is in us, and it's his faith that comes out. There's only one faith. It's his. Amen. It's the faith of the Son of God who what? He loved me. My Father loved me. You know, he who spares the rod hates his child. I was loved. I was loved. But my dad wanted me to get somewhere in life. But look, this was Paul's identity of himself, of what Christianity is. What to be a believer means, this is the identity. This is, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not yet, not I. In the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. We are in our series, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. And can we go to our weekly confession, Stephen? Let's declare this together about the Bible, about God's word. Let's declare it. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Oh, the word of God is alive. It is just as vibrant and filled with life as the moment God spoke it. Praise God. So turn with me, and we're going to start in John chapter 3. Verses 31-33. And it says, Jesus is speaking here. Remember, Nicodemus came to him at night. He was a religious leader. He didn't want to be seen by the other religious leaders. So he came at night to see Jesus. And he said, we know you're from God because nobody can do the things that you do without God, you know. And he was trying to get Jesus to say, yeah, I'm God. But the thing is, Jesus said, no, you need to be born again. What's that? Can't you be born when you're old? And go back a second time? He wasn't talking about it. He said, no, that which is flesh. You've already been born into this world. Now you need to get your spirit man born into the kingdom of God. But that couldn't happen until Jesus rose from the dead. Nobody could get born again until then. But that's what he was talking to him about. And then he goes into this huge, long soliloquy of his life and his life's purpose. He said, as Moses raised a serpent, so must the Son of Man be raised up too. And then he gets to verse 31. He says, look, he that comes from above is above all. He's referring to himself. He's not being arrogant or prideful. He's telling the truth. Big difference. He that comes from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth, and he that comes from heaven is above all. You notice how he links, he compares your speaking to where you're from, what you identify with, in other words. If you are identifying more with the world than anything else, you're going to speak what the world speaks. We see that in other places in Scripture too. John 8:26 says that. You can write that down. We're not going there yet. Verse 32, and what he has seen, in other words, what Jesus has seen and heard, that's what he testifies to, and no man receives his testimony. Why? Because they're of the world. They don't understand the things of the kingdom. They have no common ground of understanding about the things of God. That's why Jesus came to teach and preach the kingdom of God. And he backed it up with all kinds of power. I see you out there, but I don't hear you. He backed it up with all kinds of power. He healed the sick, the blind, the lepers were cleansed. He raised the dead. He did a whole bunch of things. Calmed the storm. Walked on water. What couldn't he do? He backed it up. This was his testimony. And no man received it because they couldn't relate to it. You know, there's a lot of people in this world who cannot relate to anything about Christianity, about Jesus. There's a lot of Christians. There's a lot of spirit-filled Christians who really can't relate to a lot of things that Jesus has called us to, the life that he has called us to. And so what he said, there is, he said this, and what he has, verse 32, he says, what he has seen and heard, that it's, and no man receives his testimony. Why? Because there's no common ground and they don't have ears to hear. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, he's talking, if you're linked in with God, if you have a knowledge of the scriptures, and all these people, the Jews, they were brought up having to memorize certain things in the scriptures, certain parts of the Psalms that were prophetic, that gave them understanding of who they were in Adam, their identity, and so forth, as the ones who God rescued from slavery. Big, 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 big. That's big. Because all that was a type and shadow of us, that Jesus would be that lamb, that Passover lamb, that when he rose from the dead, when we receive him and believe his testimony, that we will be delivered from the slavery of sin and bondage. It's powerful stuff. But they didn't have ears to hear. Verse 33, and it says, he who has received his testimony, in other words, those people who believed and received his testimony, has set his seal that God is true. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Classic. He who comes from God, he who comes from above heaven is far above all others. He who comes from the earth belongs to the earth and talks the language of the earth. His words are far, I'm just saying, his words are from an earthly standpoint. In other words, far from God. Is there a ring in there again? He who comes from heaven is far above all others, far superior in all to all others in prominence and in excellence. How many of you know how excellent Jesus was? He is. Verse 32, it is to what he has actually seen and heard. In other words, Jesus said, that which I see with my Father, that I speak. That which I have heard with my Father, that's what I'm speaking. Can you take the ring out of my mic, please? He who comes from heaven is far above and far superior and far, he's excellent. And it is to what he has actually seen and heard that he bears testimony. And yet, no one accepts his testimony. No one receives his what? His what? Evidence. Evidence as true. Again, we're talking about evidence versus proof. Did you know that the Bible calls your faith evidence? Now, faith is the evidence of things. Why is that? Well, go back to the very beginning of your faith walk when you were born again. You are not saved by proof. You're saved by faith, and faith is the evidence of things that have not yet been revealed to your senses, your physical senses. Amen? We're saved by faith. Faith in Christ, faith in the blood of Christ, faith in the resurrection, faith in the gospel where he's born of a virgin, where he died substitutionally. And that was it just wasn't, when Jesus died, it wasn't a martyr death. If it was, it would have been a murder. No, he was a willing sacrifice. He died as, not for you, as you. When he died, you died with him. When you believe in him, all this becomes true for you, and you get to have a whole new identity where you can, with Paul, say, I'm crucified with Christ. This world means nothing to me. And you have surrendered your will and received his will, which is so far superior and excellent. Praise God. Sacrificially. Praise God. So you're not saved by proof, you're saved by faith. You're not healed by proof, you're healed by faith. You're not delivered by proof, you're delivered by faith. You are not made righteous by proof, you're made righteous by faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Amen, right? And it is the assurance of things not seen. In other words, you are absolute. And this is the difference between what is true and what is truth. There are a lot of things that are true concerning you, concerning your body, your physical body. You may have sick, that may be true. But that's not the truth. The truth is what delivers you from the things that are true. You got to follow this down to the root. And when you get to the root, you're going to be really glad. Praise God. What 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this. We walk by faith, not by sight. This is fundamental to Christians. We can't walk by sight, by what we see, what we feel, what our physical senses are. 99% of your knowledge base is made up from knowledge that you have received from your physical senses. What you could feel, what you could see with your eyes, what you could hear with your ears, what you could smell. Is it an odor or is it an aroma? There are some of you here that you are just an aroma to God. You are absolutely a beautiful aroma to the Lord. I'll leave it there. You are. He goes, that's my son. That's my daughter. Mm. You know, there's evidence. We have that when Noah got off the ark and he made that sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. He smells. I mean, he doesn't smell, but he breathes in aroma. All right. So verse 32 says in the Amplified Classic, it is to what he has actually seen and heard. This is what Jesus bears witness of, what he has actually seen and heard, that he bears testimony, and yet no one accepts his testimony, no one receives his evidence as true, even though it's glaringly evident. Verse 33, whosoever, listen to this, this is cool. Whosoever receives his testimony has set his seal of approval to this. God is true. That man is definitely certified, that man, is definitely certified. The one who has received his testimony. That word receive means to take it as if it's yours. Receive his testimony, because everything Jesus did, he did for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. And when you take that testimony and you say, that's mine, that man has definitely certified, acknowledged and declared once and for all, and is himself assured that it is divine truth, that God cannot lie. God cannot lie. So today our series title, our subtitle of this series is The Seal of Approval. Yes. Praise God. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead was God's stamp and seal of approval of Jesus' sacrifice, was accepted in heaven as full payment for the sins of the entire world. There's nothing you can do, no law you can obey or disobey. There's no shadow of truth. Everything is out in the open. He paid for sin once and for all. And he has given you a road, a path that is free from deception, because you know the truth. The truth will make you free of what? Deception. What's the opposite of truth? Lies, deception, half-truths, twisted. That's the devil's area. That's what he does. You walk in truth, And you'll recognize from afar off where that deception is going, where that word is going to, where it's going to lead. Every time you come to a place in life that you have a question, just say, where will that lead? What's the potential of that? Will it hurt me or harm me? Will it bring me into more questions about God? Or will this bring me into a full understanding and knowledge of God? That's what you need to ask yourself. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead was God's stamp and seal. This is done forever. This is accomplished. That Jesus' sacrifice was accepted in heaven as full payment for the entire sins of the entire world. There's nothing we can do to undo that. Did you know that? It's done. It's accepted. It's stamped and sealed in heaven. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, by the way, you know, the book of Revelation deals with the apocalyptic knowledge of the end of the world and the tribulation and so forth and the things to come, just to kind of springboard and give us a glimpse of what's to come in heaven. But the book of Ephesians, this is active revelation for the believer to live in the world now, equipped and sustained by the Spirit of God and by the covenant of God. It's a powerful thing. So Ephesians 1 verse 13 says this, in whom, in Jesus, you also trusted. See, the only prerequisite to this, the only requirement to all of what I just said about Jesus paying for, is that you believe. Amen. Is that you believe it. Amen. When you believe it and walk in it and receive it as your own and really have that personal one-on-one relationship with Jesus and with his words that he preached, the only requirement is that you believe. Amen. It's not of works or accomplishments. This hurts prideful people too. Well, I prayed for 2 hours. You know, so what? You know, there are times when you have to do that for your own sake, not for God's. I mean, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you seeking him? Or are you trying to get God to do something? Prayer is not getting God to do something. It's getting you into a position to receive what he's already accomplished and made available for you through his covenant. The New Testament is loaded with benefits, blessings, promises, provisions, all kinds of things. It's all there for the taking. But you got to get yourself in a position. Get rid of the attitudes. Start forgiving those that you've had grudges against for years. Ouch! Oh. You can't do that. You know why? Because what forgiveness does to your emotions are part of the organism of your soul. And when you are walking on forgiveness, it is an infection of the soul. And you're hurting yourself. Rise up above that. Let them go. Because, I mean, you get mad at them doesn't bother them a bit. It just hurts you. I don't know why I'm getting into all that today. That was for somebody, I guess. Oh, not for me, though. Come on, guys. This is something we all have to deal with, this stuff, don't we? Day by day by day by day. You get in the grocery line and somebody's there, including me, and I'm there with my Jewel app trying to get it to work, and the cashiers will take it. And meanwhile, the people behind me, you know what? When the guy was doing that in front of me, I was like, yeah, get over it. Get over it. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Your salvation. This was done for you. In whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. Sealed. This is vacuum packed. There's a whoosh. And God says, you're mine. And I'm never going to let you go. I am never going to let you go. You are sealed, stamped, signed, sealed, and delivered. Remember Stevie Wonder? Sign, seal, deliver, I'm yours. Ooh. Yeah. You know, you get a hold of Jesus, man, I'm telling you, you'll scream too, man.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long.
Oh, I stayed too long.
I'm wondering if your love's still strong.
Oh, is your love still strong? Ah, I remember the first time I ever saw Stevie Wonder, and he was on Dick Clark's show. It's back in the 60s, and he was just being real nice, and then he started to sing, and I'm telling you, I could feel it over the black and white TV, antenna TV that we had, and the atmosphere, you could see it just changed. He was anointed to sing. Do you know he was ordained as a Baptist elder or deacon, I think it was? I think he's gone a long way away from that. But he received Jesus. You know, and we're getting to a time when God is going to pull together everything that's his. And the sheep and the goats are going to be separated. And you want to be a sheep. You know, a sheep, you can put him facing a fence and go away, and that sheep will just stay there all day. But if you're the shepherd, you go, Edema! And he comes running. You can be on the other side of the fence and go, Hi, sheep, how are you? He's not going to pay you any attention at all. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice. Amen. They know my voice. Yes. Amen. I lead them and they follow me. And a stranger they will not follow. You want to be a sheep. Okay, where are we? In whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You know what the word earnest here means? Have you ever bought a house? And what do? You put earnest money down. This is a down payment. The Holy Spirit is a down payment from the Father to show you that he is sincere about your entire redemption. Our bodies have not been redeemed yet. They haven't. Our spirit man has been redeemed, but our soul has not been redeemed. Our body has not been redeemed. I look the same in the mirror the day after I was born again but as the day I was before I was born again. It's not, and this is why people say, well, if you're God heals you, then why do we die? I mean, well, we live in a corruptive vessel here. Your bodies are corruptible. And they will die because your body wasn't redeemed. God redeemed what was lost in the first place. God told Adam, in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. You shall surely die as a King James, but the original Hebrew says, dying you shall die. You notice he didn't keel over and die physically. No, his spirit man died. That's where death and iniquity and everything, that's where it all started, right in the heart of Adam. And it is in the heart of man who inherited that from Adam, who was created to reproduce after his own kind, and he created an entire human race who was born with a dead spirit. And that's the part of us that he came to redeem. Now, there are provisions in our covenant for healing by his stripes. He went to that whipping post for a purpose, for a reason. Yeah. Amen? And it was to take your sicknesses and your diseases and your pains upon himself as a substitute, so you don't have to, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That's your body, and you'll get a brand new one. This will be turbocharged. It's going to be glorious, man. Purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Let's read the Amplified on that too. The Amplified Classic says this: In him you also who have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings, gospel of your salvation, and have believed in and adhered to and relied on him, were stamped and with the seal of the long-promised Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge, the foretaste, the down payment of our heritage in anticipation of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of his glory. Any questions? Then what's the problem? See, faith cancels questions. Faith takes all the questions out of play. They don't matter. They don't matter anymore. Because you have the answer on the inside of you. You have the... Okay. I don't want to go there. I got someplace else to go here. In fact, I just want to do this. Let's go to John chapter 14. We're talking about being sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're talking about being accepted with God, risen above all the things that held us down so much before. How do we do that? I mean, how do you relate and how do you relate, have a relationship and fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Well, it's to set your expectations where he sets them. Listen to what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, in verse 15 through 17, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's his commandment? Love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Comforter is with a capital C. It relates to the Holy Spirit. It's the word parakletos. Parakletos. And it's got several meanings. It means intercessor. He's an intercessor that abides on the inside of you. He's a consoler. He's an advocate and a comforter. And I will pray, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide or live with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. Boy, this is big. That's big right here. Neither knows him, but you know him, and he dwells with you and shall be in you. The first thing that Jesus called the Holy Spirit was comforter. Do you know when you're walking in faith in a dark world, you need consistent, continual comfort from the Holy Spirit. Continual, consistent encouragement from the Holy Spirit. This word means to be encouraged too, to console you. Don't go so many times we pick up the phone, blast all over Facebook or something because we're hurt. No, go to the Holy Spirit for consolation. Let him console you. Let him encourage you. Let him redefine who you really are on the inside, that you are a new creation in Christ, that you are raised far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions because Jesus was, and you're in Christ, and even if you're the little toe, you're far above all the demons in hell or the demons of this earth. There are demons in hell right now, too. I thought you'd like that. That he may, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Well, if the world can't receive the Holy Spirit, who does that leave as candidate to receive Holy Spirit? Believers. The truth is right here in front of all of us. We all need comforting. We all need encouraging. Look at verse 26. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And by the way, this word ghost is not derogatory of the Holy Spirit. Ghost was a very common word in the Old English for spirit. When they're saying Holy Ghost, it's Holy Spirit. But the King James didn't change. Which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He will what? Teach you all things. Everything you need to know or want to know, he'll teach you. And bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I said. You get into a situation and you get all tangled up in a conversation and everything, and you can almost feel the Holy Spirit just say, let's back off. And he'll remind you of things that he said during his earthly ministry Say, he'll remind you of things that he told you a couple of years ago, or a few years ago, maybe many years ago. He'll teach you what he said when you heard a scripture on TV or on the radio. He'll remind you that he is everywhere. He is. Dwight started off by saying God is always speaking. You know, and you get people to... I remember when I first got saved, I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit at the time, but I was born again. And, you know, I started hearing people get around the full gospel folks who are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they say, oh, God told me this. And I'm going like, what? Yeah, the Lord said to me this. And I'm going, what? And, you know, then when you get in that bunch, you're gonna find out, first of all, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, start praying in tongues and doing it. Then you get acclimated to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and God will start talking to you, and then people will think you're touched. Because, seriously, he's really hearing from God. I'm so sure. They think that you're nuts. Here's a catalog of hundreds of people who heard from God. This is it. Take your pick, any page. God was talking. God was talking. God was talking. Read through the book of Acts and find out how many the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit did this. The Holy Spirit moved upon them. The Holy Spirit did. He's always speaking. He is always doing. He is always active. He is always prompting, giving you intuitions, giving you prompting and so forth to move forward with something. And it fills you with an amazing peace. This is the Holy Spirit. And he's a comforter. You don't have to be afraid of him. He loves you. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Does Jesus love you? Well, if the Father sends him in Jesus' name, he is the Spirit of love. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Now let's go to chapter 15, verse 26. Jesus said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, so this is a joint effort. The Father sends in his name, and Jesus sends him from the Father. Even the Spirit of truth. Notice now that he calls the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He calls him the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit doesn't deal in just shades of truth. No, he is the truth, pure light. In him there is no darkness at all. The Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. This is why I said earlier, don't wait for the Holy Spirit to tell you. Keith Moore did this one time. You know, he was going to Rhema, and they used to have speakers come in, and these guys moved in the Holy Spirit in ways that he was just, hey. And he said, he would come home every day and pray, Holy Spirit, show me yourself. You know, teach me about you. Teach me about how you move. Teach me. Show me how all I can know about you. And he's praying that way. And he's getting nowhere. Nowhere. I mean, absolutely zero. This is, it's like his prayers going clunk, clunk. Just falling right on the floor. And then he read that verse. He shall testify of me. Jesus said, he'll testify of me. So he changed his prayer. He says, okay, I see it. Lord, Holy Spirit, show me everything I need to know about Jesus. And it was like the Holy Spirit just, yeah. Sit up in the chair. I'm going to teach you about Jesus. Because everything Jesus did was in perfect line with the Holy Spirit. Everything, he was led by the Holy Spirit. His peace. Everything that he did was the Holy Spirit doing it through him. And when you see Jesus in motion in the Gospels, you're seeing the Holy Spirit and how you can relate to him. It'll set your expectations there, and you'll be doing the same things. Jesus said this in John 14, 12. He said, he that believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father, and I'll send you the Holy Ghost. It's not us, it's him. Let's work John 16, verse 13. This is a good one. Howbeit, when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, or the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. In other words, he'll show you the way in every situation. He'll guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I don't know what could be more comforting, being in a world of darkness as we have, where there's so many uncertainties about tomorrow. Am I going to face a layoff? Whatever it is. When you have the Holy Spirit who will show you things to come. So that by the time you get there, you'll already have a plan in place. So he'll say, you know, a layoff's coming up here. And you say, okay, thank you. What should I do? He'll say, well, he may lead you to a divine connection with somebody. Another job comes along. He is a linker. He'll link you up. Amen. I mean, if he devised a way for Lori and I to meet on October 8th, 1983, at about 9 o'clock in the evening, I have that written down. It's in here. Second time I ever heard the voice of the Lord, audible voice of the Lord, was when I saw her. And he said, that's her. It was so matter of fact. I heard that voice back in 1973, in November of 73, when I was in a parking lot in Wichita Falls. I was playing in a rock band. We were on break. And I was out there looking at the biggest Texas sky I ever saw, filled with stars. And I heard a voice behind me saying, son, I love you. I was an atheist at the time. And I looked behind me. There was nobody there. I thought somebody was playing tricks. So I'm walking back, and I'm looking back. It's time to go back into this barn we played in. There's those rock barns, you know. And when I saw Lori, it was the same exact voice. Isn't that wonderful? Same exact voice. I thought it was my dad in Texas. I said, what's dad doing in Texas? And there was nobody there. He's called Comforter, Spirit of Truth, Holy Ghost, Teacher, Revealer, Revelator. He is the Spirit of Truth, the testifier of Christ, and everything I need to or want to know about Jesus, about myself, about the future. But it is all right there in front of us. In the person of the, he's not an it, he's not a feeling, he is a person, and he is a gift from the Father, and he's more than just a gift. He is the giver of all gifts in himself. It makes everything available to you, and he keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, and there's no evidence at all that he ever took anything. He just gives and gives and gives. Amen. Amen. You are sealed with that person, and he lives in you. You ought to be expecting to hear from him. You ought to be expecting him to teach you, to show you things, to get down on your level. Take this whole thing out of the, you know, when I got saved, real brief, I didn't touch a guitar for a year. I wanted to get clean from that whole business, from that whole, everything that caused me to identify with as the world. And I didn't touch a guitar for a year. And then with other guys, it's different, though. I mean, this, I'm talking about me. And then some girl handed me a guitar and said, your brother said you used to play guitar. Why don't you lead us in some worship and so forth? Well, I took the guitar home and started playing it. And the Lord started giving me all these songs. What you give to God, he'll give you back in spades. I mean, he will do it. And whatever you surrender to him, He'll give you a lot in return. And he'll replace it with his agenda, his words, his anointing, so forth. Wrote a lot of songs. But here's my point. What was it, Lord? What was the point? You get these things once in a while. He's teaching me. Let me end by saying this. God will never lead you into a life that does not require and demand faith. God will never lead you into a life that does not demand faith. This is not comfortable Christianity. This is walking by faith. This is the most exciting life available to mankind. Walking by faith in a God who cannot lie. You've set your seal to where his seal is. You meet at the truth, and there is no varying from there on. It's the truth. And he'll continue to, and if you follow the truth and follow the truth, what'll happen? What will the truth do for you? Rest my case. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we have been signed, sealed, and delivered into the kingdom of God. Father, we just lift up our voices to you throughout this week. When darkness comes, we'll lift up our voice and sing. When questions come, we'll lift up our heart to you and say, fill us with direction and guidance and which way I should go. When we are questioning things, you'll remind us of what you've already said. Your word is a reminder. You'll comfort us during times of temptation or bad news. Lord, because you are the wonderful comforter. I just pray, Father, that those who may need to understand and know you that way, I pray for them now that they not miss out on the wonderful and amazing life that is available through Jesus. If you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Just pray this prayer with me. Let's all pray it together. Say, Heavenly Father, I have new information that you love me. You're not accusing me. I have new information that your word declares that your love for me is never ending, that it is real, and I can have it. I put my faith in Jesus Christ right now. I walk through that door, and I'm not going to look back. I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I confess with my mouth that he is my Lord, that I am forgiven because my faith is in the blood that paid for all of my sins. I receive eternal life right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for being so good to me. Thank you. Somebody just got delivered. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. You are dismissed.